Take your Bibles, if you would, tonight. Open them up to the book of 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1, and we're going to start in verse 10 tonight. Just to remind you, as I did last week, that 2 Peter was written by the Apostle Peter. It was written to the same group of people that he wrote the book of 1 Peter to. But he had a different purpose in writing 2 Peter than he did in 1 Peter. In 1 Peter was an encouragement. The people that he was writing to were going through severe trials and persecutions for their faith, and Peter was writing them to encourage them to stand, to not give up, to not quit, just to keep hanging on to the Lord and keep on going on. 2 Peter, in contrast, is a warning. There were false teachers that were starting to come in to the churches and starting to teach false doctrine and false teachings. And Peter, in this second epistle, warns these Christians to beware of these false teachers, to not buy in to the lies that they were telling, to stand on the truth that they had in Christ. And you remember last week we sort of outlined the book according to the chapter divisions. We talked about chapter 1, and we called it supplementing your faith. In other words, grow your faith. Grow your faith by getting closer to Christ, remembering what you have in Him. And hopefully we'll be able to finish up chapter 1 tonight. And then chapter 2, securing our faith, Peter's going to give a very blunt warning against the false teachers. And we'll start on that hopefully next week. And then chapter 3, serving in faith. Just to keep going on. And to look forward to what we have in Christ in the latter days, when He's going to return and we're going to go to heaven, either via the rapture or via death, but to look forward to that reward that awaits for us. So last week we covered the first 9 chapters of chapter 1. We left off with verse 9 where it says, "But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins." And so what we're going to talk about the rest of the chapter, we're going to key off verse 9 where Peter says, hey, you've forgotten. You've forgotten what you have in Christ. You've forgotten that your sins have been washed away, have been purged. And the last two-thirds of this chapter, from verse 10 down through verse 21, Peter is reminding them of what they have so that they won't forget. He's reminding them so that when these false teachers come in and start teaching these lies, they will remember and know the truth and what they have in Christ. So look at verse 10 where the Bible says, "Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall." And so he's saying, wherefore the rather? He says, don't forget, like he talked about in verse 9. He said, but rather remember. And he says, give diligence. And that word diligence means to pay attention, to give your attention to it, to think about it, to make your calling and election sure. And what Peter was saying is the same thing I'll say to all of us tonight. We have been called and elected by God. God called us. He called us to salvation. Like we sang in the first song, before we started looking for Him, He was looking for us. And the call to the gospel was going out in our lives. And that call took many different forms. Perhaps it took the form of a mom or dad telling you about Christ, or a grandmother or grandfather telling you about Jesus, or taking you to your church so that you could hear about Jesus. Perhaps it was a tract. Perhaps it was a sermon or a Sunday school lesson. But He sought us. He called us to salvation. He said, "I've come to seek and to save that which was lost." And then He elected us. Now, some people will use that word and say, well, God's only elected a very few. I believe He elected everybody. I believe God voted for everybody. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So He's not only called us, but He made it salvation available to every single person because He's elected us all. And what He's saying is, now look, these false teachers are coming, and they're going to try to throw you off. They're going to try to get you off base. So don't forget, you've been called and you have been elected by God. And Peter just said, just dwell on that fact for a minute. You have been called. God came looking for you. He came calling you. I was reading in the book of John today in chapter 11 about the story of Mary and Martha and Lazarus, where Lazarus dies. And you know, if you remember the story, Martha went out to meet Jesus when she heard that he was coming into town. And then they talked for a little while, and then Martha went back home. And she said, "Mary, the master's come and calleth for thee." And that verse has always spoken to my heart, because that's what God has done to every single one of us. He has come and called for us by name. He called for us as individuals to come to salvation. And so Peter's saying, give diligence, think about it, bring it back to mind often to make sure your calling and election. Now, not sure in the mind of God, because it's already sure in the mind of God. I mean, when we asked Jesus to save us and we got saved, God doesn't have any doubts about it. I mean, he made the promise, you call on me and I'll save you. And so, he's not going to back up on his word. It is sure in the mind of God. You know, I feel sorry for these people that don't believe in eternal security. God knows they're saved forever. They don't. If God knows it, we should know it. But make it sure, not in God's mind, but in our minds. He says, give diligence. Consider it. Think about it. Make it sure in your mind that you know and you remember that you have been called and you have been elected. And just remember, God never breaks his promises. He will always keep every promise. He cannot continue to be God and break a promise. If he broke a promise, he wouldn't be God anymore. He will keep every promise that he made to these things. And so he says, if you do this, if you give diligence and you recognize and acknowledge that you have been called and you have been elected and that God is going to keep every promises, then he says, you'll never fall. Never fall to lies. Never fall to the false doctrines. Never give in to the heresies that these false teachers are going to bring in and teach. And again, like I said last week, we need this warning as much today as the people in Peter's day did. We need Christians that will remember what they have in Christ Jesus and not get sidetracked by people that will come in and start teaching things that are not in this book, that are teaching things that are against this book. They're teaching things that are lies. We need Christians that are sure of their calling, sure of their election in Jesus Christ. Then look at verse 11. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly unto the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What Peter was reminding us is, hey, our acceptance of that call and that election, our asking Jesus to save us, that's what gives us an entrance into that everlasting kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what gives us an entrance into heaven. That calling, that election. And I want you to notice in that word, in that verse, the word abundantly. Abundantly. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly. And here's the thought that brought to my mind. We're not going to just get into heaven. We're not going to get into heaven by the skin of our teeth. I mean, the gate of heaven is not going to be cracked open that much, and we sort of have to, I'd have to make it a little bit wider for myself, but squeeze, we're not just going to have to squeeze through that crack. Because we've accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior, the gates of heaven are going to be open wide. And we're going to walk in justified in God's sight, just as if we've never sinned, because the blood of Christ cleanses us and has purged all of our old sins. And we are going to go in to heaven with that with an abundant amount of grace, with an abundant amount of forgiveness, with an abundant amount of love, all because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. Verse 12, wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. Here's what Peter's saying. I'm going to keep reminding you of these things. I'm going to keep preaching about them. I'm going to keep teaching about them. These letters that I, these epistles that I've written, they're the subject of these epistles. I'm not going to neglect my duty. I'm going to keep reminding you of these things. And I was thinking, you know, one of a pastor's main job is not to come up with new truth. I mean, there are some things that I discover in this book. They've been there all the time, but they're new to me. And when I run across those, I preach them. But that's the exception rather than the rule. I mean, you that have been coming here for a long time, you know that I don't get up every Sunday morning or once a month even and say, I got a new truth for you this morning. I got a new truth for you tonight. I mean, it happens every now and then as the Holy Spirit opens up my understanding and shows me something new. But here's the pastor's main job. Again, it's not to introduce new truth. It's to keep reminding you of the old truth. It's to keep reminding us, all of us, that we were sinners and the wages of sin is death and Jesus paid the price for our sin. And if we trust him, he will save us. Now, like that verse says, you know that. I know that, but we need to keep being reminded about it so that when false teaching does come, we can say, oh no, that's not the way it is. Sorry, there's not another way to heaven. There's only one way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Because you see, these false teachers in Peter's day and today, they are attacking the old truths. They are attacking the basis of the truths. They are trying to cut at the core of what we believe. And Peter says, I'm not going to neglect my duty. I'm going to keep harping on, and I'm going to keep teaching on, and I'm going to keep preaching on, and I'm going to keep writing on those old truths. I had a guy tell me one time, he said, you know, you ought to be an evangelist. I said, why is that? He said, well, all you ever preach about is Jesus. Now, this was a guy that only came Sunday morning. He said, you know, a pastor needs to teach his people how to grow, and he needs to talk about other things than Jesus. And this guy only came on Sunday morning, so he didn't never come on Sunday night or on Wednesday night, when every now and then I will try to teach you a little bit. But he says, you know, a pastor needs to be more broad than you are. You need to talk about more than just Jesus all the time. And I didn't argue with him. I just said, I love to tell the story for those who know it best, seem hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest. And when in scenes of glory we sing the new song, 'twill be the old story that we have loved so long. False teachers, they're going to come after the old truths. And Peter says, I'm not going to quit talking about them. I'm not going to quit preaching about them. Look at verse 13. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. He says, as long as I'm in this body, as long as I live on the face of this earth, in this tabernacle that I indwelt, that God has given me, I'm going to keep reminding you, because I want to stir you up. I want you to remember what you have and provoke you to love and good works based on what you have. And the more we're reminded about how much Jesus loves us, and the more we're reminded about what he did for us, my experience has found the more that we will want to serve him, and the more we will serve him. And so Peter says, as long as I'm around, I'm going to keep reminding you of this stuff so that not only will you even be grounded against these false teachers, but it'll stir you up to get busy, to let it show up in your life, to let you, what you believe in Jesus Christ and what he's done show up in how you live your life. Verse 14, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. Now, I don't believe Peter got any new revelation from the Lord. I mean, God didn't come to him and say, hey, on this particular date, that's in the near future, you're going to die. I don't believe that that is what motivated this verse. I think he was just getting old. I think he knew his time was getting close. You go back and you look at, you don't need to turn to it, but in John chapter 13, verse 36, Peter, Jesus has said, hey, I'm getting ready to go, and where I go, you can't come with me. And Peter asked Jesus, he said, well, where are you going? And Jesus says, whether I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. Jesus was looking forward to the cross. He was about to go to the cross. He was about to be crucified to our sins. And he said, where I go, you can't go. And Peter said, well, why not? I'm ready to go with you anywhere. I'm ready to die for you. And Jesus said, really? Cock's not going to crow three times before you deny me. But Peter would come after. He would be crucified like Jesus was. In fact, when Peter was about to be crucified, he did not think himself worthy to be crucified like Jesus was. So he asked those that were about to hang him on a cross to hang him upside down. And he came afterwards. And he says, as long as I am that I'm in this tabernacle, I'm going to keep reminding you. I may not have long. I may only be a short time. But every minute that I'm here, I'm going to keep reminding you. Verse 15, moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able after my decrease to have these things always in remembrance. He said, I'm going to do my best. After I'm gone, to have you remember these things and not forget them. And the fact that he was writing it down was a way that he was ensuring that again and again they could read this epistle and be reminded of what Jesus had done for them. Verse 16, for we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesties. He said, look, a bunch of smart guys didn't get together and make all this stuff up. It's not fables. We told you what we saw. We were eyewitnesses, and when we proclaimed unto you Christ, all we were giving, what we were giving you was a firsthand account. This is not stuff we made up. This is not a fable that somebody spun. We actually saw it. We saw how he lived. We heard as he taught and preached. We saw the miracles. We were there when he fed the 5,000 and the 4,000 with a small amount of food. We were there when he stood on the deck of that ship and said, peace be still, and the winds and waves obeyed him. We were there as he touched the leopard and spat and anointed the blind man's eye. We were there as he healed person after person after person. We were there when he raised Lazarus. We stood in that cemetery with him. We were there, and Peter, James, and John were, when they went into the bedroom of Jairus' daughter and raised that little 12-year-old girl from the dead. They were with Jesus in the city of Nain when he stopped the funeral procession of a son, of a widow, her only child, and told that young man to come back to life. Peter says, we're not making this stuff up. We're just telling you what we saw. We saw him die. We watched from afar as his blood was spilt on Calvary. And then we went into the empty tomb. We were in the upper room when he came and revealed himself unto us. We saw his power. We saw his majesty. Not only that, he says, for he received from, verse 17, for he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. Peter says, hey, I was there. I was there with James and John when we went up to the mountain. And we saw Moses and Elijah. We saw Jesus turn bright like the sun. And then this cloud came over us. And we heard this voice out of the cloud that said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Peter says, I'm not making this stuff up. I'm just telling you what I saw. This is not fables. This is the truth. This is an eyewitness account. And I can't help but think of that verse. You remember when they told Peter and John? Remember when the religious leader says, quit preaching about Jesus. We don't want you to say anything else about Jesus. And they said, we can't help but tell the things that we have seen and heard. You know, I bet you no amount of money tonight could have stopped Wayne and Carol from testifying what God did for their granddaughter. No amount of money tonight could stop Brother Ray from testifying what happened on the phone the other night. No amount of money could keep Brother Darrell from testifying about the 13 people that got saved. Look, when we see God work, we can't help but tell people about it. And that's what Peter was saying. All this is true. I'm not making it up. He said, just remember what you believed and what Jesus did for you when he saved you. These false teachers are going to come in and they're going to attack and they're going to try to get you off base. And I want you to be grounded. I want you to be sure of your calling and of your election. Verse 19. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn, and the day star arise in your hearts. Peter says, there's something else that we have. Something else I want you to remember. Something else I want you to use to make sure of your calling and your election in Christ Jesus. We have a word of prophecy. We have the Old Testament. We have all the prophecies in the Old Testament that were made about Christ, his birth, his life, his death. And he said, take heed to it. Pay attention to those prophecies that were fulfilled, every one of them, in the life of Christ. He says, it's like a light that comes into a dark place. You know, when you're in a dark place and a light comes into it, you can't help but see the light. Huh? You can't help but pay attention to the light. I mean, when a light comes into a dark place, you're going to notice it. You're going to pay attention to it. And Peter's saying, that's what you need to do with the prophecies in the Old Testament. It's like a light coming into a dark place. And talks about there, and the day star arise in your heart. He says, that's what Christ is. He's like a day star. You know what a day star is? It's a star so bright, you can see it in the day. I mean, even with the sun shining, you can look up and see the star because it's so bright. And that's what Peter says. That's what Jesus is. He's like a day star. And it's like a light that comes into our dark place. You can't ignore it. You're going to notice it. And he says, that's how you need to think about the Old Testament prophecies. Everyone was fulfilled. We have a sure word of prophecy. Get your election and your calling sure, because when these false teachers come, they're going to attack. They're going to attack. Then we'll close with verse 20 and 21. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scriptures is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Now, Peter is using these two verses, and he's setting the stage for what he's going to talk about in chapter 2. In chapter 2, he's going to get real blunt, and he's going to give folks some pretty direct warning against these false teachers. But here he says, what he's saying is, now look, none of the scriptures that we have, and they had the Old Testament at that time, None of the scriptures that we have came from human beings. No person thought it up. It did not come out of human ingenuity. Man did not devise it. They did not create it. They did not come up with it. No prophecy came by the will of man. But holy men of God, men like Moses and David and Isaiah and Jeremiah and Daniel and all the minor prophets, and in our day, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Paul, they were moved by the Holy Ghost. They were dictated to by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost said, write this down. Write it down. By the way, here's where the jot and tittles go. Here's where the punctuation marks go. They were moved by the Holy Ghost to write the Word of God. And so when we look at what we have in the Old Testament and what we have in the New Testament, it is the Word of God. It is a message from God Himself. I use men to write it. He used men as secretaries. But they did not come up with the thoughts. They did not come up with the words. The words came from God. And so Peter says, now look, this is what we have. This is what I want you to call to mind. This is what I want you to give diligence to. Don't forget it. Remember it. Bring it to mind. Think about it. Meditate on it. Because again, when these false teachers come, that's what they're going to attack. Some of their stories are going to sound good. Satan always puts enough truth into his lies to make them plausible. But they're still lies. And the more we are grounded in what we have, the more we are grounded in our salvation, the more we are grounded in this book, the better we'll be able to withstand all those lies. Thank you for being here tonight. Let's stand together and we'll have a word of prayer.